Blog Talk Radio.
For me and you. So that is the lineup for today. Like always,
We'd like to briefly bring in our contributor, historian, analyst, Emmanuel, and welcome Emmanuel to Missing Pages of History. Emmanuel, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you.
Emmanuel, we got a full schedule today, but like always, this is a real special day for us because our contributors would like to speak to us in terms of supporting us. And the way they can support us is by purchasing and participating in our quarterly raffle drawing. Today is March 24th, 2018, and we're going to have one of our quarterly raffle drawing right now, which will be facilitated by one of our members and contributors, Susie. Susie, welcome to Missing Pages.
All the participants in the drawing, good luck. Thank you.
Okay, Susie will be facilitating our raffle drawing, and also as one of our guests today who will be working with us on our raffle drawing is Miss Grantley. And Miss Grantley will be drawing the prizes today, and what we're going to do right now for all those who have supported us is raffle drawing, because they actually have the raffle drawing. The first drawing will consist of third place cash prize of $50. Susie and Ms. Grantley, can you please roll the table? Okay. We're now, Susie, it's all yours.
Okay, the first person is Jill McLean, and she's out of Philly, Pennsylvania, and that's third place prize.
Okay, we have June McLean. What is the ticket number, Susie?
And the ticket number is 0221.
Ticket number 0221, June McLean out of Philadelphia. Thank you for your support, and you have won the third place prize. Next, let's go to the second place prize.
Okay, we'll be with you. We're churning. Okay, and now we're ready.
Okay, all the second right. place prize, which will be for $150 cash prize. Who is our winner, Susie?
Our winner is Jesse Footman, and that's out of Severn, Maryland, and the number is 0211.
Okay, we have a Jesse Footman out of Severn, Maryland. Number is 0211. Welcome, Jesse, as the second prize winner, $150. And the big prize winner coming up now.
Turning it again. Okay. Now, okay. And let's pick another one. Okay. And this one is for Patty Robinson out of Richmond, Virginia, and the number is 0151.
Patty Robinson out of Richmond, Virginia, for the first place prize. We welcome her. That's a $300 cash prize. We welcome her and like to thank her for her support. So the three winners, we have third place prize again. Susie is who?
Third place is Jill McLean. Second place is Jesse Footman. And third place is Patty Robinson.
Okay, to all our supporters and winners, we'd like to encourage them and thank them. And before we leave, we would like to at least say hello and thank Ms. Grantley for being a participant of this drawing. Will you have Ms. Grantley say a few words to our listening audience of Missing Pages of History? Ask her, why does she support MPH?
I think it's a good cause, and I'm willing to participate whenever I can. Well, you know, kind of caught me off guard. That's all I can say.
No problem, Ms. Granny. We thank you for all that you do. We thank all of our supporters and participants. So we'd like to thank you. We'd like to thank everyone for allowing this particular quarterly raffle drawing to be a success. And our next drawing will be on June the 2nd. June the 2nd, we'll have our next drawing. We'd like to thank everyone for participating and supporting MPH. Emmanuel, before we go on station break, is there a few words you'd like to say to our listening supporters and followers and participants?
Well, not a lot. I just want to thank everybody for participating. Keep participating. And also, make sure you tune in As the summer go, we're going to go. We're going to have a variety of subjects that's going to entertain you, and it also will give you a lot of information and knowledge. And we'll be talking mainly when our subject matter is going to be about Africa and what's going on there with the oil and the diamonds. And we're going to be talking about quite a bit about education. We're going to talk about this president that we have in office. We're going to be talking about a lot about gun control. And we're going to be talking about a lot of issues that's coming toward us as far as defense contractors concerned. Who are they? Who are the largest ones? We also going to be talking about where your money goes. What's happening to your money, your taxpayers' money?
Where your money goes. That's the...
Where your money goes. We're going to be talking about the fact of where your money goes. And we need to know that, people. Where do your money go? Who is basically using your money for what and for who? And what organizations and what departments? And if I had done previously. And this is how we have to understand. We got to understand numbers. We like to deal with a lot of rhetoric, but not numbers. Rhetoric leads to numbers. And that's my whole speech, my whole analyzation of missing page of history. And we're going to do it in Black History Month every month. I'm going to tell you something about Black history. We're going to talk about the affirmative action, who got it first, and who still gets it. We got to understand affirmative action. How this country, the making of America, we have to understand that. And what part you play into it, into the partisan politics. Understand, going to the voting booth is the only way that you will win. Going to the voting booth. Vote the ones out who don't support your agenda, the people's agenda, not party's agenda. So please, tune in every 2 weeks. Sure to watch our television show starting in September. It's going to be very enlightening, going to be very informative. It's going to be an education. Education on politics. Please, do not abandon us. Please support us as much as you can. And during the summer, please take a little time out to listen to Missing Pages of History. Take 1 hour out of your day to listen to us. That you become
and
a sponsor. Back to you.
And later on, we'll tell you again how you can support MPH and participate in some of the upcoming activities with Susie. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a brief station break, and when we come back, we're going to deal with that theme today, which is the cat on the hot tin roof. And we said earlier there are several subject areas we could discuss. The first area coming up was this recent incident dealing in California, Sacramento, a dumpster shooting by the police department of a young black man. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. This is Missing Pages of History.
Their backs. They got these outlaws back. Some of these guys on police force, they're thugs and outlaws. They need to be totally background checked. Got to background check them too. Check their computer, check what they do, what they say. But this is all part of the community and the perception we're going to get from police officers. It's about life and death. Which one do you prefer? The police officer said they shoot to kill. That means death. Do you shoot to save a person's life? Shoot them in the leg? Shoot them in the arm? What do you do? Well, they're not trained properly. They're, like I say, again, it's a culture. It's been that way for close to 500 years. And you're not going to stop this culture. It's just the way it is. From slavery, from hangings to shootings, the black person gets incarcerated. We're going to do a show on incarceration. Why? Why do you incarcerate the way you do in sentences, the way you do the sentencing? Again, I repeat, blacks do the same crime as whites or European Americans. They get 7.5 years more time. Vote the judges out. Who's doing the sentencing until it becomes fair? It's an unequal justice system.
Okay, finish your point, man.
It's an unequal justice system. There's no equality there at all. It's very bipartisan, always will be, because you have a two-party system, basically. One is Democratic and one is Republican. And one is what it is. You know what they're all about now. It's a new Republican Party. And like I say, racism is infested in their core. You got to be able to speak Republican and then basically speak in hate. This is what you have to do. And I will basically do some talks on that later as the year goes along, exactly what about the police department is what they actually trained to do, what they're trying to say. What their most often phrases is that I feared for my life. I don't care if he's 10 years old, 12 years old, 14 years old, I feared for my life. And they get exonerated because they say that. This is what it's all about. Protectionism, they're going to have that. And regardless, we got to take to the streets. We got to understand it. And again, we got to go to the voting booth and vote them out. Who appoint these people? Who head the police department? The judges? The sheriffs? The district attorneys? We have to vote them out. We have to band together and vote them out.
You know, Emmanuel, I want your response to the statement, and then we're going to take our first caller on this topic. We're going to come to call 3330. But after responding to this comment, there was a some articles that I have been reading, looking at, and in these articles they were saying that one of the reasons why they think there's a large killing of people, African descent, African people in this country, is due to the fact that many policemen who have now joined the police force, they have been infiltrated by skinhead and Nazis. They took off their uniform and went and joined the police force so they can justify and carry out their hatred for people of color. What you make of that analysis?
I think it's true. It's always been that way. The sheriffs, the judges, the district attorneys, all of them belong to that particular culture. And it's not going to stop because it's very profitable. Same as slavery, very profitable. Incarceration is very profitable. It created lots of jobs. That's number one. A lot of jobs in the justice system that they can cover up, make excuses, and justify because they have the platform to do such. They have the money to do such. You have to hire a lawyer, which costs you money. Well, taxpayers pay for their platform. It's a different ballgame. And we got to learn how to play the ball game they're playing. The only way to do that again is to vote them out. And like I say, this is where it's going to be. Because, again, you're a target. You'll always be a target because you're not a slave anymore. lot of different, but you're not a slave anymore. Well, you have the same rights that they have, but again, yours is limited. They're the one that limit your rights. You're the one got to keep fighting all the time and protesting all the time. They don't have to do that because they're privileged. And they're going to keep that privilege. You're always going to be unprivileged, whether you like it or not. You try to join the mainstream. You try, we try our best. But it's very, they make it very difficult because they're born not to take orders from you. They're not going to take orders from you regardless who you are. We saw that during the presidency of Barack Obama. You saw what they conspired every day, 24 hours, conspired anything, but they're not going to take orders from him. They didn't like him being the commander-in-chief. They didn't like that at all. They don't like none of these titles that we get when we get, basically, when we get into, you know, into the politics. They don't want you there. You've never been there. All these rules, segregation rules, Jim Crow rules, they were all made against African Americans and blacks. So get used to it. It's not, again, you're 12.5% of the population, they're not ever going to listen to you. Ever. Because, again, they want to make sure that their wealth stays in place. And when you don't integrate the money, you always going to have inequality. And they don't think about integrating the money. Don't even think about it. You're powerless. I don't care if you have an organization, you start it, whatever you do, you are totally powerless. Because you're not the majority and you don't have the hate in your heart. Hate is in their heart. Always have been. When you take slavery 275 years and after slavery, what do you do? The same culture exists. And the president we have in office now, his rhetoric, his vulgar rhetoric and language, is an institution of racism. He's bringing it back to the forefront. Huge time. And people are doing whatever they do, say whatever they want to say, don't make no difference. They're not going to let you have a voice. They're not going to let you have a voice.
Okay, Emmanuel, on that note, we have a couple of callers, faithful listeners who have called in. We'd like to respond to this issue that took place in Sacramento, California, the shooting. We'll go with caller number 3330, caller 3330. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment, please.
Okay, I'd like to make a comment. We're looking at this issue of those rogue agents and police forces. We have to understand that in terms of a capitalistic perspective, when police forces originated in the United States, they originally started off as enslavement patrols. Their main mission was to capture those who were enslaved persons who escaped or those who might have aided in helping enslaved people escape. So when you look at that mentality, there's always this phrase that possessions is 9/10 of the law. So when you look at capitalism, the in terms of capitalism, policing is related to protecting those who have the possessions. So when you look at black people by large and mass don't have the possessions, they're not meant to be protected. So we got to understand that this is because of the system that's in place. It's not just a matter of a few rogue agents, but it's a systematic issue. Until you dismantle the system, these kind of things will continue because those without the property are the threat.
All right, caller, we thank you for your comments. We have put you on hold, and we now go to our next caller. Caller 6029, caller 6029. Your question or comment, please. Caller 6029.
Yes, I want to thank you for taking my call, and I agree with your caller. The problem is systemic. I think one of the things we got to stop deceiving ourselves about is that when we talk about police brutality, we have to understand that this practice is encoded into the very institution itself. So it doesn't matter whether you're white, African, Latin, or whatever you are, that this notion that the lives of African people is not important is something that runs deeply in the annals of policing, you know, of the community. So we got to understand that this is a system we're talking about. It's not a question in terms of individual will. We're talking about a system. Now, the thing is that when we talk about police brutality, when we talk about the annals of police abuse, or we look at cases like Amadou Diallo, the same thing they said about Amadou Diallo that they said about this young man that was killed in Sacramento. They say he had a weapon. It turned out to be a cell phone. They shot him 48 times. There's a case in the Bronx, New York, Eleanor Bumpers, a 78-year-old grandmother who had arthritis, who was arthritic. They shot her 17 times. She was on a walker. So the question in terms of the casual slaughter of African people is not something that's not recognized by the system. In fact, when you look at the kind of expenditures coming out of Washington, D.C., in terms of more sophisticated weaponry, in terms of better, more efficient ways of killing people, and clearly the federal government understands that the impetus is to kill African people and or poor people, those people who are powerless, those people without property. So we just stop deceiving ourselves about if we simply vote, that it's going to be all right, because it doesn't matter whether you vote or not. The bottom line is you're talking about an institution, and the only thing that's going to prevent these kind of atrocities from happening to African people is that African people must become organized, because after all, there are more African people in the community than there are law enforcement. And if you take a stand, if you're organized and you're willing, and you say enough is enough, then they understand the writing's on the wall, and they would cease in terms of the wholesale killing of African people. And I want to say thank you for taking my call.
We thank you, Carl, for your comments and your participation to this program. Emmanuel, you heard a couple comments. We would like for you maybe respond to the comments. And then what we're going to do, Emmanuel, we're going to take another station break, and when we come back, we're going to speak to our theme tonight called Cat on the Hot Tin Roof. We're going to define who is the cat and why the tin roof is so hot. But your response, Emmanuel, then we're going to do a station break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss March for Our Lives. Billions and millions are marching around the world. We're going to talk a little bit about the Trump Watch, as well as this question of immigration. So, Emmanuel, based on what you heard, the comments, your response, Emmanuel.
Well, first of all, like I say, you have to vote regardless. That's the whole key. The key is not voting police brutality out of this and this out, but vote more responsible people than that have sense of common sense. You're not going, there's not more people in the community than police. We're 12% of the population. So, like I said, we understand that we are totally unpopulated, basically. And like I said, you're the nourishment of capitalism. You're the one who created capitalism. Capitalism wasn't here from the beginning. It was created. We have to understand that. That was the better way of doing business and profiting off of slavery, and they're still doing it now. The thing is that when you look at a community, you look at unemployment. Why? Unemployment going to bring up crime to a certain extent. They know this. There's a study on this. 26 think tanks study Black America. There's none that study white America. I'm going to repeat that. 26 think tanks study Black America. There's not a one that study white America. Why? Because we don't believe in numbers. We believe in organizing. We believe in this, all the crazy stuff we believe in. That doesn't work. Certain things doesn't work. Have never worked. Until you again own. OWN. You have to own certain things. They're not going to let you do that. Because they bummed Oklahoma City when you tried to start a Black Wall Street. They bummed it. They don't want competition. You're competition because you're the profit margin of America. I'm going to write a book and a paper on this. You Black folk, African American, we're the profit margin of America. We bring our money to them because they own everything. They make you come to them regardless for a job, to purchase. You're the product. You're just the product. That's all you are. And you still are always going to be a product. They said they're going to supply all of your needs. And they do supply all of your needs. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Again, if you don't have jobs, you don't have infrastructure, you don't put money into the community to have jobs, to make sure it's good-paying jobs. Job, you can buy houses, you can buy automobiles, you can buy cars, send your kids to school. Privileged. We need privileged jobs that can make you privileged. This is what has to come. This is a humane thing. And African Americans, major cities where most blacks are, in 10 major cities, 80% of us are in the 10 major cities, and all of them impoverished. Why? Understand the why part. We have to understand the why. That's what we don't understand.
On that note, we're going to take a station break, and when we come back, we will continue the discussion with Emmanuel, who is our historian, analyst, and distributor. We're going to talk about our theme tonight, Candle on the Hot Tin Roof, and such issues as March for Lives, millions and millions around the world, the Trump Watch, immigration. So please don't leave us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. This is Missing Pages of History. is they don't really care about us. Emmanuel, welcome back to Missing Pages of History. And, you know, audiences have a way of communicating messages to their audience and to the world. When Michael wrote this song, it sounded like he was speaking to us today, Emmanuel. All I want to say is they don't care about us. Now, let's make our transition from that position to the position of maybe, Emmanuel, if you talk about the cat on the hot tin roof. Today, we have March for Our Lives. Millions and millions around the world are marching. Emmanuel, what is this all about, and how do we fit in this scenario, this so-called march? Is it colorblind? Is it for us? Why is this march is happening? Give me your narrative on this march today.
Well, the landscape of the march is very visual. People marching around the world, involved on six continents. How many people know this? I don't think the only continent that's marching, I think, is Antarctica. Probably too cold to march up there. But everybody's marching. Millions of people are marching. And you know something? The big thing is, it's the teenagers. You know, I like to show you the landscaping when the Civil Rights March was there. There were hoses. There were dogs. There were sheriffs. People going to jail. See, it's not happening at the moment. This is the landscape we have now. It's totally different. Very diverse. You don't see hoses. You don't see dogs. You don't see sheriffs. You don't see police brutality. You don't see things of that nature when we march. I marched when I was 16 years old. I think Bevan F. Sharp, I think it was like 13 or 14. There were youth there then. There were more grown-ups, but again, there was hoses. There were sheriffs. There were dogs. There were governors. I mean, you saw what this is totally different. This is the landscape I'm looking at now. They're teenagers. You can't threaten them. Look at Colin Kaepernick. He protests, can't get a job. The guy that kneeled beside him, he agreed, can't get a job. See, they retaliate. It's very difficult to retaliate against a teenager. 15, 16, 17 years of age. You're going to take his job from him? You're not going to hire him? It's a different type. Understand the landscape. This is what's going on. Do you see what I'm saying? Most folk don't. They don't understand marches. They don't understand them. They don't understand protests. See? Well, this is totally different. Retaliation is going to be very little because you're talking about teenagers who's got a voice, who the one that's 17 years of age, they become voters. And like I say again, voting is the key. Vote you out. Other things is not a big deal. This is the biggest deal, voting right acts. When someone say vote is not the key, then they're messed up. Their rhetoric is totally wrong. Voting is the key. That's why they have voting. That's a reflection of your civil rights, your voting rights, your privileges. Again, and you can participate. You can become a person, become a candidate. You want to try to change things. Things are changing. The march for our lives, for all lives, perhaps again, is very diverse. We're talking about single lives, people getting killed. We also talk about a variety of mass shootings, where the school, the nightclubs, concerts, movie theaters. We're talking about everything, but we're talking about the AR-15, which is comparable to the AM-16A1 advanced weaponry that the military uses. We don't need that type of gun or magazine loaded on the streets at no given time. I'm going to give you an analogy that some people might not agree with, but I agree with it. Car racing. Look at car racing. Look at the Second Amendment. You can have a car, you can have a gun. Where are the race cars? They are controlled in a controlled environment at the racetrack. 200-some miles an hour. You got some fools out here would take 200 miles an hour on the street, but that's not allowed. That's why you have limits. That's why you have control with automobile. No one says you can't have one, but there are strict laws about the automobile, a lot of signage, a lot of rules, regulations, age, a lot of requirements, DUI, everything. So, again, let's look at that. Automobile like an AR-15, where are you? You're on the racetrack where you belong in a controlled environment. Controlled. No one said you can't have an automobile. But again, that's where I look at it. Automobile, 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, that's safe. It's all about safe. Okay to have a weapon. No one said, but I don't think the Second Amendment talked about AR-15s. They were talking about that particular time, the guns. They were controlled to a certain extent. So we have to look at it like that. That control. Control gun laws and march for our lives. Young kids walking to a school with a teacher with a weapon tied around their waist. What are we doing here? What are we doing? We are in the society all over, walking to a movie theater, walking to a restaurant. You know, just for example, a young man at an AR-15, he walked in, I think it was in Georgia. He walked into the police department with an AR-15 on his shoulder. They couldn't approach him or do anything because it was okay to have it. This is how frivolous this gun laws are. You can walk around with AR-15 on your shoulders, and the police can't even approach you. They can't approach you unless you point it to someone or you shoot somebody. This is called, this is craziness. And you got grown-ups who vote on this, and again, vote on this. Everything is voted on except for this president we have. He used executive orders to do a lot of things because he's trying to be a dictator or an authoritarian. We got the wrong guy. We got an idiot. We got a cat. His name is Donald Trump on Hot Tin Roof, and it's getting hot up there for him, and he knows it. He has no idea what to do, but he's a cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and the roof is hot. This subject matter today, we're talking about people are marching around the world on 7 continents. This is the most notorious, this country. No other country like this kind of gun violence we have here. Zero. I mean, largest China is. They don't have nowhere close to the problems we have here. They're 4 times our population. Because they have gun control. They have gun control. I know we're talking about communism versus capitalism. I know what we're talking about. Everybody got a piece of capitalism, and regardless, they call themselves this or that. Everybody has it. The world runs by money. That's their God. God is their money. But again, not being dogmatic about it, that this is something totally different. Over 800 marches across this country. I mean, just abundance of people, over 500,000 people in Washington, D.C., marching on the Capitol and speaking about gun violence because it's out of hand, been out of hand. And the NRA, again, they feed the politicians in Washington, D.C., and they got a friend named Donald Trump and a bunch of friends around him. They're basically all Republicans. It's not both sides of the aisle. It's one side of the aisle. We need to stop saying that. It's one side of the aisle. A Republican is writing executive orders. That's what he's doing. And he don't care about laws. He don't care about you, especially you. He doesn't care. You're just a byproduct of America. You're just a byproduct. You looked again at the slave, as a second-class citizen. That's who we are. We have to understand that. Organization, all this stuff is not going to help us. marching. We only can do it together. Diversity is the key. We got to march as all America. The young millennials, once these old ones die out, this is going to be a better America. So people won't dig it. Like I said again, the main theme of the people in the, that are marching saying, vote them out. Vote them out. Hope our listener listen to what they're saying. Vote them out.
Emmanuel, I'd like for you to respond to this perspective that I've heard from some of the people from the various communities when they took a look at this march that's taking place today around the world. Some will argue that the motivation or the driving force behind this is geared more towards because there's a segment of white students or working class or privileged class that is being affected by these shootings. And therefore, the driving force is more of an emphasis on them versus other people of color. What do you say to this?
That's
perspective?
True. Yeah, we got to close the gap. That's really closing the gap now. The Parkland School in Florida is about 25% African Americans. You don't see a lot of them, you know, they're doing participating, which is 20. That's quite a bit, 25%. But again, blacks and browns or Latinos will make up almost 40% of the country. And we have to understand that the privilege and unprivilege is still in place. They're not going to do a whole lot to privileged people. It just doesn't happen that way. We respect privileges. We don't respect non-privileges. And we're non-privileged for what they're concerned. They don't worry about Chicago. It's not the same. Different ballgame. They don't care about the schools in Chicago. People get shot there. People get killed in schools in Chicago and Newark and New York and L.A. They don't really care. They don't bring up protests. Doesn't bring this up at all. They just call them gangs. They call them gangs. That's it. Love a gang type thing. Once you put the word gang in front of it, it becomes like a non-issue. Understand the verbiage. Understand how they catalog this stuff. This is, like I say, it's capitalism. And understand the tentacles of capitalism. Most of them don't understand the tentacles of capitalism. We don't understand it. And the number one part is racism. When you think about racism, first letters of fourth letters of race, status quo. You're not going to move the product that's making the money. You're not going to move the product that has made them money and still making them money. And the whole thing, how do we keep making more money off of you? My whole thing, you're a product to make money at all given time, to make money easy. Like I said, again, we think about translate, spin to the sports world. Football players, mainly black, basketball players, baseball players, mainly Latino and blacks, and, you know, a few whites are sprinkled in here and there. But to make money off of them in the way they can. Make sure you don't become ownership. The thing is not to own. Make sure they don't become an owner. If you do, let them have one or two owners only and make their voice not be heard. The whole thing is a voice. You're still on the plantation whether you like it or not. Listen up with plantation. All they're going to talk about is a few million of dollars that you make, but don't talk about the billionaires who own the team. That baseball team do not affect your football team, not affect your bottom line. You have billions of dollars. You're paying guys pantry millions. So, you know, come with that craziness because you don't understand numbers. You do not understand numbers. We understand owner rhetoric. On the rhetoric, you don't understand numbers at all. These guys are making $40 million an hour, not $40 million a year. We understand the numbers. These baseball teams, football, basketball, they're worth a lot of money. And they've been advertised everything else. So, again, we don't understand numbers. We can't equate numbers. I was very good in math. You have to be good in math. Understand. Rhetoric is easy. History, liberal arts courses, they're pretty easy. Math is precise. It's exact. and that's the difference. Everything is based on opinions.
You know, Emmanuel, when you look at this mass mobilization that's taking place now, some people believe you may benefit certain political parties, while other people may be opposed to it because it may not benefit certain political parties. How do you view that scenario? How will this mass movement impact these various political parties inside the U.S.?
Well, they don't get, like I said, they vote and they don't get what they want, especially millennials. The new generation is coming up, 17, 18, 19 years old. The Democrats will win out. And again, they're more beneficial to everybody than the Republicans. Republicans have a lot of hatred. And they're mean-spirited. That's who they are. But again, they want to keep the status quo like they got it. They don't want nothing to stop. They want white supremacy. This is what they want. They want nothing else. They want to bring those European, you know, habits here. They want to bring that culture here. They want to make sure they keep that culture. That's why they came here, basically. What for religious freedom? That's just a lie. One of the biggest lies ever told. You don't build capitalism off religious freedoms. You don't build it off of that. But the biggest lie was told was that. They came here with peace. Peace. Smoking a peace pipe and taking everything. Took the whole state of Oklahoma from the Indians. They just stole it. Just took it. Took the land, put it on reservations. They took African Americans, brought them out of slavery, put them in projects. Or subdivision, or sub-type homes. So that's what they got. And like I say, you're again, you're a second, third-class citizen. That's the way they look at you, like Native Americans. They're a fourth-class citizen. They're going to keep it like this. They're going to keep the power, and you're going to be powerless. It's going to benefit the Democratic Party, basically, because we did a poll. I think it was a poll done, and they said 65% to 70% will vote Democratic because, again, we are putting the legislation up to, you know, just the gun control. We're doing all the things that should take AR-15s off, you know, off the streets, take the magazines off the streets. Not one Republican has said that, basically. Not a one. Because they get fueled by the, you know, NRA. They get almost, I think it's like $30, $40 million. You know, so it's one party going to benefit from this, yes.
You know, man, Emmanuel, as we talk about our theme, the cat on the hot tin roof, let's make our transition under the area of the Trump Watch. There are two things I'd like to raise with you in terms of this Trump Watch. Number one, recently Donald Trump signed a bill worth $1.3 trillion. He signed a bill for the government to function until up to September 2018, which did include DECA. That was not part of the bill. What was the motivation or the influence you think that led him to sign that bill, even though he claimed he really didn't like it? That's number one. And number two, can you talk a little bit about some of the recent quitting and firing of his recent staff and replacement, particularly replacement for his foreign advisor, that boy Bolton, who used to be in the UN? Can you speak on those two areas? One, the passing of the signing of the bill, $1.3 trillion. And two, this recent firing and replacement of one of his staff members.
Well, first of all, it takes $4.3 trillion to run this country. So we got to keep, we cannot do what we're still doing. Every 3 months we do something to fund the government. What's on top of the bill with the federal government was the military. Military was the big number. F-35 was the big plane. Cannot be detected by radar, basically. That was a big number to Lockheed Martin. Over $30 billion in contracts, they got the number one. So that was the big part of the bill, why he signed it, because of the military. That was on top. What he just didn't like about the bill, because they only gave him, I think, $1.3 billion for the wall. It wasn't for the wall, it was for security, to patch up stuff, to make the wall a little bit more efficient. Where the wall was lapidated in some areas. That's what he didn't like about the bill, and then it did not include his $25 billion for the wall. That's why he raised so much hell. But again, the top of the bill was the military spending at the Department of DOD. That's why he signed it, basically, because of that. It includes DACA. All he took was executive order and get DACA back on track. But again, that's another, you know, Obama executive order. Like I said, again, his whole thing was anything Obama did, he's got to make sure he counteract that. He put people in the departments to make sure that happened. Head of the Secretary of the Department to make sure all this happened. The big thing was him firing people. I fired one guy while he was on the toilet. He fired him through Twitter. It's not you firing it by me. He's a coward. He's a coward when doing what he's doing. Like I said, you voted for him. You voted for this idiot. You idiot along with him. You cast your vote for Donald Trump. You're an idiot just like he is. Nothing different. You're stupid like he is. Incompetent just like he is. You put him in office, that's what he's doing. He's got a base of about 35 million people. It takes 65 million to get elected. But he's got 35 million people in the red states, basically. And again, they can't play on his golf course. They can't, you know, spend a night in his hotel because they can't afford it, basically. But this is what you got, fools. You got fools that degenerates voted for him. And they in this box, and they can't get out. He knows where to go to make his speeches. The new guy they got, you know, as National Security Advisor, he's a war hawkish guy. He wants to go to war. That's his whole makeup. He's a television guy. Why you put a guy in the seat that's a television guy? He used to work for the UN under Bush. Hadn't had a very good job since then. He has become an analyst on, you know, Fox News, which is really no news. You know what that is over there. But like I say again, these are the things that we have to look out for and vote these people out. We got to vote him out. We got to impeach him some kind of way. But like I said, President Obama had done one-tenth of the thing this guy done. He had been gone. He would have been gone a long time ago. But like I say, this guy's running his country like Putin of Russia. That's who he think he is. He's what he is. He runs this country like a business, like his failed businesses. Six bankruptcies. I mean, that's 3,000-some lawsuits. This guy is a failure. I don't know why he called himself a businessman. He's a failure businessman. Failed in all areas. His casinos are gone. Everything is gone. He's in debt by $4.3 billion. He got assets of $3.2 billion. If people call for the debt, he's broke. He's really broke. But this is what you're dealing with. He fired McCabe, FBI person. He's putting the war against them. But this guy is a retaliation guy. And don't even talk about the women that he's involved with. We have an adulteress, but it's okay. All this stuff is fine. Morals don't mean nothing in this country. When you have slavery, when you start off with slavery, morality don't mean nothing. And kept it around for 275 years. Where you start making rules and laws and to change things. So this is what, you know, this is what this is all about. It's going to take young people to change it, and they're going to change it. These young people coming today, they're going to change this structure we got going. It'll be hard to be diversible. Again, they're together. They don't see things like older people see it. People in their 60s and 70s and 80s, they don't see it the same. People in their late 50s, they don't see it the same. All they see is reconstructing the infrastructure with people that have values, have moral values. And that's the way they're looking at it. Hope I answered your question. Again, the top of the question, why he passed the law, because it's not shutting down the government, and the military was on top.
You know, Emmanuel, one of the trends that has been happening for the past year since Donald Trump won the election is there's an increase of certain types of groups based upon him becoming president of the United States. Now, what are some of the highlights of Trump's reflection toward these supremacist groups? Can you speak a little bit on that?
Well, hate groups are targeting Muslims and immigrants. They increase in 2017 due to Trump's rhetoric. They're increasing every year, again, because of Trump's rhetoric. Donald Trump seemed very sympathetic and tolerant toward their actions. The hate groups, the number is almost 1,000 in this country. That's a lot. More though, the 600 white supremacist groups, that's still a lot. A neo-Nazi organizations, and anti-Muslim groups, they increased, I think, for the third year in a row. But again, the substantial embracing of the radical right, and is largely due to the acts of President Trump, the guy that's on hot tin roof. When he tweeted out hate materials and made light of the threats to our society posed by hate groups, this guy is something different. He's German, first of all, so you can look at that, where that's coming from, basically. His ethnicity, see, what he's looking at, and he's embracing white supremacist groups, and he wants to see a country where racism is sanctioned by the highest office. I'm going to repeat that, people. White supremacy groups, but Donald Trump wants to see these supremacist groups, and he wants to make sure that racism is sanctioned by the highest office. Immigrants are given the boot, and Muslims are banded. After Trump took office, just to highlight some things, he ordered several travel bans. People remember that. Targeting several Muslim and Muslim majority countries. I think he targeted 12. And that was a version of his version of the Muslim ban. But he promised during this presidential campaign, I believe, that the Muslim ban was not a Muslim ban. Well, of course, the courts knocked it down, and several judges ruled the ban unconstitutional. See, Trump, I look at him again as a cat on the hot tin roof, as he also uses derogatory and vulgar language when talking about immigrants and refugees, such as a recent comment he made describing Haitian and African nations as shithole countries. I guess everybody remembers that. I do. This is what we got in the White House. He got up under fire again, to saying, again, both sides were to blame for the violence as a white supremacy group in Charlottesville, where one person got killed. After white supremacists allowed his cough into a crowd of counter-protesters. But like I said again, it's our culture. I've been infused by this type of person and this person's ideas. But let's take the high school down in Florida, in which the shooter, I think his name was Nicholas Cruz, he reported he wanted to, on his computer, to kill blacks and Latinos. And he put a photo on the, on Facebook, wearing a Make America Great Again cap, a hat on his head. This is what we're talking about. So as I wrap this up, the male supremacy group, they're male basically, and they're doing a census for the first time. The report came out. They misrepresent women, all women, and make them genetically inferior, manipulative, and stupid, and reduce them to their reproductive or sexual functions. This is what they do to the white supremacist groups. They're based in male groups. Well, this is the ideology. And like I say again, the backlash on Trump will be the rise of these teenagers to march during the day. The voting going to take place because you got to vote. And all right groups and the black national organizations, they have increased by more than 20%. So this is what we got going in our favor, that they're going another route. And they're going to lift up America to make America, we've always been great, except for slavery. It's always been sort of great. You can live here. Want to live anywhere else, even though it has its faults. It has its misdeeds. It has, again, some of the things that nobody encourages, embraces. But look at the other countries, what you got to deal with. Dictators, kings, queens, whole different ballgame. Some cannot vote at all, suppress the vote, like Russia. Can't run, can't do anything. And look at all the wrongness in these countries. I'm going to do one more thing. This is my definition of a hate group. Hate groups are organizations which beliefs or practices that demonizes a class of people. And that's what they are. They demonize a class of people. And we're one of the class of people that they demonize. Hope I answered your question on the Cat on Hot Tin roof. And like I say, his roof is getting very hot. And all I can do is say, you know something? I'm like Maxine Waters. Impeach, impeach, impeach. You need to get him out of there as soon as possible. He is a corrupt person. He's a mean-spirited person. And number one is he's a liar. You can't have a liar as President of the United States of America. Not a liar.
And you are listening to Missing Page of History. We're going to take a quick station break, and when we come back, we're going to do an update with our member Susie on what's going on with MPH, how you can get involved, upcoming activities. And Emmanuel will give us his summary on today's program, what deals with the cat on the hot tin roof. We're going to pause for this call, so we'll be right back. This is MPH.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight. Understand.
harking back to missing pages of history, it is true. You're making food of people some of the time, but you can't fool them all the time. We welcome you back. We're now in our closing stage of today's program. Right now, we're bringing our member and contributor, Susie. She's going to give you an update on missing pages of history, and then we'll follow that with Emmanuel Finer closing on today's theme, Cat on the Hot Tin Roof. Susie, welcome back to Missing Pages of History.
Good evening. Hi. First, I'd like the public to acknowledge that we will start our MPH TV show with Comcast Channel 95 and Files Channel, and then Channel 36, which will start September the 12th, 2018, and it's on Wednesday nights from 9 to 10 p.m., and it's a weekly show, and we also have, we'll be doing live call-ins. The next item I'd like to remind everyone is that our next program, our biweekly radio program will be April the 7th, 2018, and that's at 1 o'clock, and you can tune in or call in to 818-337-0016. And also, last and final, we have our continuing T-shirt/cap drive, and you can place your orders anytime. You can go online by going to www.mphincinc.org. And those are our upcoming events for the future, and we look forward to hearing from you for your support. Thank you.
And we'd like to again also thank all our supporters who participated in this recent quarter raffle drawing today. And we'd like to announce our winners again. And that is, for third place, we have a June McLean out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you for participating. She was our third place winner. Our second place winner, we have a Jessica Footman out of Serbia, Maryland. She was our second place winner. We'd like to thank her. And our first place winner goes to Patty Robson out of Richmond, Virginia. She was our first place winner. Again, we'd like to thank all our supporters and plan givers for their continued support. And also, we'd like to remind you that Missing Pages of History, we are in the process of taking on new membership. We need people to come help develop MPH, help us to make our contribution, and help make better communities where our people live. So right now, what we're going to do right now, we can go to our historians, our analysts, and then our contributor, Emmanuel. He can talk a little bit, maybe again, give us a summary, or maybe some of the things we can expect to take place this summer that MPH want to do. And Emmanuel also close this program out of giving us your final thought on Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Emmanuel, welcome back.
Thank you. I can recap us very briefly the Sacramento shooting of the young man, unarmed black man in Sacramento. We keep our eye open on that one to see exactly what's going to be challenged and unchallenged, and see what the verdict is going to be, see what the charges are against the police officer. We want to see exactly what happens here. This will be a barometer we should have to set and look at and make sure we keep an eye open on that one. Look at the immigration policy. DACA was not included in the package that the president signed. That's going to be a stalemate for quite some time, I believe. We look at the march for our lives. This is just the beginning. This is not the climax. This is just the beginning. This is not going to stop those young people. They have energy. And like I say, retaliation could be very limited. You can't fire from the job. Most of them have jobs. So things they kind of, there's no fear there. You're growing up, there's fear. Retaliation from your job, you get fired, this, that retaliation is there. But that's not there for them. And this is going to be one of the greatest moments, greatest, you know, marches of protesting that we ever going to see. Because, again, it's around the world, it's global. So everybody feels the pain. Cat on the Hot Tin Roof, our president, this guy, is totally something different. You know what you got when you voted for him. You know what you was getting. You were getting a crook, getting a liar, you was getting a con artist. You know what you were getting. you were getting a guy that don't show his tax returns. You're getting a guy that he's an adulteress. This is the guy you're getting. That's what's up in there. Has no morality. None. Never going to have any. But that's who he is. You can't change from who you are to what you is. And that's who he is. He's not going to change. Only they're going to change him how to vote him out. Make sure that he don't finish this particular term or we try to run again, make sure we get him out. And the people around that support him, make sure we get them out. We got to get better people up in there. Again, he's poor, inexperienced people. He wants people to be loyal to him. Be yes, yes, yes to him, whether it's right or wrong. Anytime you get a guy that knows it's wrong and try to make a right out of it, and again, you can't believe what he says. He's a tweeter. 4 or 5 o'clock, I mean, he's a revengeful person. He's very revengeful. We cannot and will not tolerate this type of activity in the White House or in the U.S. of A. We cannot tolerate this, and we will not tolerate this. Go to the voting booth, put yourself on the ballot if you don't like certain things. You have to make the change, people, and I think we will.
Hey, Emmanuel, we'd like to thank you for your analysis on this theme today. We'd like to thank our listening audience for allowing us to come to their home this evening. And we'd like to remind everyone, please, to find out more about MPH, go to our website at www.mphinc.org. We'll be on next time, 2 weeks from now. We invite you to join us on April the 7th at 1 p.m. We also like to know our next quarter fundraiser raffle drawing event will take place on June the 2nd. Until next time, let us join in and continue to help fill in our missing pages of history. We thank you for all that you do for MPH and come and join us. Until next time, let's strive to go forward wherever and back whenever and continue to fill in our missing pages. We'll see you in 2 weeks. This has been Missing Pages of History.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. The Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force and truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my foes. You said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and you was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
Tennessee.